The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's Isaiah 42:8. Today on Exploring the Word, we're going to look in the Old Testament at the biblical names of God and what they mean. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to come to you each day here, Monday through Friday, on Exploring the Word. But today, we usually take calls, but today we're doing a pre-recorded program. Alex and I, one of us could not be here, or both of us, and so we do these ahead of time. And we've been anticipating this one, Alex, really, because I think we've talked about it each time that we've come together and we're going to record something. You know, we talk about, man, wouldn't it be good to do the names of God.
Exactly.
And so today, we're doing it, brother.
We are. And folks, I think this will be a show you really want to listen to. And you can go online, you know, on AFR.net, the website for the radio network. You can listen to archived shows. And this just might be one, because the names of God are so rich and they tell us about who the Lord is. And we're going to look at some biblical names of God that they all reference the same person, God. But yet they tell us deep, deep truths about who he is. And Bert, this reminds me, back in the late 1980s, there was a song by Amy Grant. And contemporary Christian music, sometimes the lyrics are deep and sometimes they're not. But this was a winner. I mean, this was one of the great songs. It was called El Shaddai by Amy Grant. And I know many of you recall that beautiful, lovely, lovely piece of music. And it said, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Na Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of your name, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. And throughout that song,
with even out the tune, it's powerful.
Oh, it is powerful. And it just one of the great pieces of Christian music of our lifetime, actually. And I think to a lot of people, those words were unfamiliar and new. They were to me. I didn't know all those, you know, like Adonai. But I spent some time working on, you know, I wanted to look up, what do these words mean? And it kind of put me on a quest to know some of the names of God. Now, we know there's God. There's in Exodus 3:14, I am. There you read Isaiah 42, I'm the Lord, L-O-R-D. And when in your Bible, if you see Lord and all capitalized,
all caps,
that means Almighty God.
Yep.
Now, sometimes in the King James, you'll see like Sarah called Abraham Lord. And that's a little bit misleading, because it doesn't mean that she viewed Abraham as God.
Yep.
But Abraham was her husband. And sometimes when, like in Genesis 6, you know, the lowercase g, gods, it's not talking about the creator God, but people of power, people of stature. So sometimes in English translations, it can be a little tricky. But we're going to get to the original languages. We're going to talk about the names of God, the Almighty, the Eternal Creator, the Lord of all, and we hope not only the Lord of all, but your Savior personally as well.
The important part is there's one God, many attributes, many characteristics, and these names reveal that. But give me an example of that. In Isaiah chapter 6, when they saw the Lord God high and lifted up,
right,
and, you know, his glory filled the temple, you know, and all of that, it says the seraphim flew around singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Now, here's what they did. No matter what angle they looked at God with him on the throne, he was holy.
Yes.
And what you do, one name does not cannot characterize this mighty God that we know.
That's
right. And so what we want you to know, we want you to know him personally, but these will get you to know some of his attributes and his character that will bless you and I think enhance your Christian life. And I do believe it'll help you be a better prayer warrior, Alex.
Oh, yes. Because you can pray by name.
Yes.
And talk to the Lord personally. And the Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And look, when you invoke the name of God and the names of this one God, you're right, it is powerful. And let's just talk about the fundamental primary name of God. And you've got to understand the Hebrew language is a little different than ours, but the meaning definitely conveys. Let's talk about Yahweh or Jehovah. In Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 4, is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is often called the Great Declaration of Monotheism. Mono, M-O-N-O, mono means one. There's one God. The Muslims have it wrong. They accuse us of believing in multiple gods, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they'll say, you believe in three gods. False. There's one God, only one God. And when in Deuteronomy 6, 4, the Lord our God is one, the word there in the original Hebrew it's basically four consonants, Y-H-V-H, Yahweh. There are not vowels in there. Vowels, to make it pronounceable, they put in vowels.
Okay. Was it unpronounceable for a reason? Does it show you the holy separateness of God?
That's right.
Because he is separate from us, but he chose to come and join us through his son, Jesus Christ. Pretty significant, that is. And I
yes.
do. I think it shows you the holiness of God. God is not man. Okay.
Right.
Don't get caught up that God was once a man and he achieved godhood, or you think you're a man and you'll achieve godhood. You will not. No, God is God and he's totally separate. And I think that name demonstrates that above everything else.
Well, exactly. And, pious Jews to this day will not say the name of God because he is separate and he is holy and he's pure.
Well, isn't it true? I heard that many of the scribes that would write it, before they would write the name of
yes.
God, they would go through a cleansing.
They would. In fact, in my book, Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith, we talk about how, the word scribe means counter. And they were very careful. They would count the letters to make sure they had gotten the copies perfect. But they would be ritualistically cleansed by the priest before they would start. But when they would come to this holy covenant, eternal name of God, And folks, this is amazing. This is the name God has revealed about himself,
exactly
who he is. This YHVH, Yahweh, it means Lord Almighty. But there is a part of this, and now think with us here, because this is discovering really more about who God is. The name, what does it mean? Well, it means, one commentary I looked at said this name specifies immediacy, a presence. Yahweh is present, accessible, near to those who call on him for deliverance, Psalm 107. All right. God is the eternal. He's everywhere in the universe, but he's right here. Now, I want you to think for just a minute. When we say Yahweh, and this is when Exodus 3:14, Moses said to the voice in the burning bush, who shall I tell Pharaoh has sent me? And God said, I am that I am. God said, I am Yahweh. What does that mean? Well, think about the vast, far-flung recesses of the universe. God is there. A billion miles from where you are, God is there. God is the everywhere. God is the eternal. God is the right now. But yet God is right here.
Okay.
Doesn't it amaze you, Bert? All right.
It's really beyond complete comprehension.
Right.
We're getting a glimpse
right.
of who. You remember when God passed by Moses in mm-hmm. the cleft of the rock? He not only put him in protection of the rock, he put his hand before him. He was doubly protected
right.
from the power of God because he said, no one can look upon me
right.
and live. I mean, God would it just overcome mankind. And I think that's the case here, Alex, that that we're getting a little bit of the glimpse of the glory of God.
And we're spending a fair amount of time unpacking some of these names. We can't, in the space of this one show, do it all justice. But I do want to camp out on the name Yahweh because, all right, think about this. The sun is 93 million miles from Earth, and yet God is on the other side of the sun. Yahweh is 93 million miles from here, and yet he's right here. And he is eternal, and he's present. And that name, I am that I am, we've talked about this many times. Part of what that name means is it is God's nature to exist. He is the existent one. Now, there was a time when I didn't exist. Prior to 1964, there was no such thing as Alex McFarland.
You weren't up in heaven waiting to be born.
Nope.
You did not exist.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
But think about it. I mean, just try to think about it. I can't get my mind around it. There never was a time, never ever, there was a time when God didn't exist.
Again, if you say that's too much for me, join the crowd of many.
Yeah.
We do know that he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. And you're talking about the glory. One real quick, and then we got to go to another. We got to push ahead. But the glory of God, when Jesus was here and he was at the Mount of Transfiguration, and it's like his manhood, his human flesh was pull back so the glory could come out. And what did those guys who were there? They bowed their head before him. That shows you, and I do that to share with you that, yes, we're talking about the Old Testament names of God, but it was revealed in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So remember that.
Exactly.
So that's the whole thought, but that glory is still there.
And let me just say this. I've got a very dear friend named Tom Nevin, who's an incredible Christian scholar and writer, and he gave a devotion one time at Focus on the Family on how, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We become a believer, and we're wrapped in his righteousness. And he said that's like a fireproof suit to holy-proof us, so we could actually even appear in the presence of God. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
Just like a fireman to go in a burning building, they've got to wear
that special suit.
That's right.
Or they'll be absorbed. We could not stand before God and live in our present condition without his glory being veiled.
Exactly. The eternal, immeasurable power, glory, reality, nature of God, we would vaporize in the very presence of God, but in the righteousness of Christ, we can enjoy God forever.
Amen.
And so I know in four consonants, YHVH, Yahweh, you're talking about the greatest power, eternal in the universe. Now,
and chosen to reveal himself to us.
I know. And tenderly, tenderly loves you, my friend. And now, kids always ask this question when I'm at schools. If God made everything, who made God? The answer, nobody. God just is.
Yes. And the Bible makes it plain, I am that I am. Moses wanted to know. They'll want to know who's sending me. And he said, tell them that I am that I am. Not that I was, or I will be, that I will be, but I am that I am. It's always in the presence, isn't it?
It is.
That's who it is.
Exploring the Word is back after this with more of the names of God.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast, facebook.com/exploringtheword.
One of the apostles said, we would see the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Now, that is powerful, but today we want to look at the Father, our God, and we're looking at the names that describe his nature, his attributes, his character. And these do overpower. If you think it's overpowering to listen, you ought to try to teach it mm-hmm. because it is beyond our we only have a little bit of the glimpse of God's nature, of God's attributes and his character. He is so he's otherworldly, Alex.
Exactly. Well, and you know, in the first segment we talked about Yahweh. Another name, and we're just laying the basics, then we're going to get to some of the specifics, is the two letters L. Now, roughly 3,000 times the word El or variants thereof are translated God, Elohim, which very much points to the Trinity. But the word El or Eloah means mighty or strong. It talks about the fact of God, the creator. It refers to power. And so when you talk about Elohim, you're talking about God, the creator. And
that's the first one that's used in the Bible.
Yes.
In Genesis 1.
Exactly. It is.
Okay.
It is. And so it's interesting. The Bible clearly says there's one God, but then it talks about let us, Genesis 1:26. When it says, God said, let us make man in our image.
So the plural is used two times in that one sentence.
Exactly. But you've got the singular and the plural. There is one God, one nature. Don't get tripped up here. But God has revealed himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So think about this, folks. There's one God, but point number two, the names of God that we're unpacking describe different aspects of his nature, his attributes, his character. So I think this is so fascinating. Let's talk a little bit about this. El Shaddai, we talked about that song, El Shaddai, really means God Almighty. And in Genesis 49, it talks about the mighty one of Jacob, El Shaddai. El Shaddai refers to God's ultimate power over everything. And, you know, earlier we were talking about how the fact that the solar system, the planets, the sun is 93 million miles away. Well, go 93 million more miles, and God is still there. Bert and I love to talk about our dear friends at Answers in Genesis.
You got it.
Ken Ham and Mark Loy. You know, Ken Ham we talk about so much, but there's another. The co-founder is Mark Loy, right. A dear, dear brother in Christ. They do a show out there, the Planetarium, the Creation Museum you ought to see. But there's a Planetarium show, and it starts with the verse that says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? And this Planetarium show, you sit there and you watch this thing about the solar system. And frankly, your mind is just staggering.
You are.
Because God is so vast and huge. The universe is, you know, so huge, and yet God spoke it into existence.
And you come out saying, God is big.
That's right.
And how can the incomprehensible be comprehended? You come to that point where, you know, Peter and Jesus was having a conversation, who am I? And in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I want you to know, Peter, you can't come to this decision to completely observation. Only my Father has revealed it to you completely. Right. Observation will get you a little, okay?
Right.
You can observe who God is, but revelation throws it wide open.
And exactly.
And we need observation and revelation.
Let us give you a little homework assignment. Tonight, after it's dark, just go up and look at the sky. Go if it's a clear night, look at the
drive
moon.
Drive out into the country and look at it, because light pollution will kill it in a town.
You know, think about this. Not too far from here is a place called French Camp Academy, and in Mississippi, it is one of the great Christian schools in our nation.
Yes.
It really is. And they've got an observatory, which is very rare, because where they are in Mississippi, French Camp Academy, is what the U.S. Astronomers call a dark zone, meaning that at night, there's city lights are sufficiently far away that you can actually see the stars. And, friend, I remember when I was in Africa one time, and it's so dark at night because you're not near any city lights, and the Milky Way looks like it literally you could just reach up there and touch it. And I remember one night I was sleeping outdoors on the ground on a mission trip, one of our trips to Africa, and I was just saying, God, I praise you. Those stars are so vivid. But here's our homework assignment. You go out there tonight and you look up at the sky.
And count the stars.
Vast. You can. And El Shaddai means the Almighty Creator, the Strong One, who did all that. And look, if you say, well, just I can't understand this. Well, neither do we. Look, you could put the ocean in a thimble the same day that the human mind can fully comprehend God, which is to say never at all.
Amen.
But the names.
Enjoy the mystery and tension.
Oh, my word. It's something. Let's talk about a very well-known name of God, Adonai.
Adonai.
In Genesis 15, verse 2, and in Joshua 3, 11, Adon or Adonai is sometimes used in place of Yahweh. And the Jews thought that sinful, fallen, finite humans dare not say Adonai, but some would dare not say Yahweh, but they would say Adonai. Which is often translated Lord. It's interesting in the Old Testament.
There's something beautiful about Adonai.
Adonai, very
and,
beautiful
and
word.
When Amy Grant sang that song, it just it really emphasized that, doesn't it? And I think it, the Lordship, it does demonstrate the beauty of God. The Yahweh demonstrates the otherworldliness, the separateness of God, while Adonai brings it a little bit home, Alex. You catch what I'm saying? Even in the name Lord and the beauty of it.
Well, think about this. In Genesis 18:25, there's the question. It says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is yes, the judge of all the earth
always
will do right. God is the judge of all the earth. Very often in the Old Testament, Yahweh is used when it's talking about God's dealing with the Jews. Adonai is used, or a variant of Adon, when it's talking about God's dealing with the Gentiles. Now, the point is, he is Lord. Adonai is frequently translated L-O-R-D, Lord, and he is Lord of all. Now, you might not realize it yet, and you might not have accepted it yet, but it does say, before him every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He is Adonai, Lord of all, isn't he?
He is. And the great part, having Lord, you know, you try to put it in our language. Does that mean boss? It means commander? Listen, you never had a Lord like him, okay?
Mm.
You remember it says there was these men in the New Testament, and they was going to go try to find something wrong with Jesus, and they sent these young men, and they came away saying, I've never heard a man speak like this man. That is the Lord Adonai. You've never met. If you think you know God and you don't love him, you haven't met this personal God that is revealed in the Bible.
Exactly. Do you know what I loved? I was a young Christian. I was reading the Bible, and I came across that verse in my King James Bible that said, never a man spake like this man. Yeah.
I love that, brother.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
Let me give you another one. This is so powerful. I mean, if not Yahweh is enough, and Elohim—
And okay, Adonai.
In a couple of verses, and I'm going to give you Psalm 59, verse 5. Psalm 59:5 says, you, Lord God Almighty, you are the God of Israel, and you punish the nations. You show no mercy to wicked traitors. Okay, Yahweh Elohim. Boy, now that's the double punch. Genesis 2, verse 4 and Psalm 59:5 use the word Yahweh Elohim. Genesis 2, 4 says, the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. When Yahweh Elohim is used together, a combination of God's unique covenant name, Yahweh, and the name Lord Elohim, that is really the Old Testament way of saying Lord of Lords. Now, in Revelation, which John wrote, and Frederick Handel said, King of kings, Lord of lords, forever, forever, that—
And you want to stand when you hear it, too.
Oh, my
amen.
I just cannot fathom the power implied and conveyed by Yahweh Elohim.
So what you have, these compound names, so that's what we're introducing
Genesis
now.
Genesis 2:4, yes.
Yeah, we're introducing compound names. You have a couplation of God's nature joining together.
Mm-hmm.
Does this not demonstrate his justice and his love joined together, Alex? You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah, and certain his power and his eternality.
So don't you think there's people, let's make this real practical for just a second. When people think of God, sometimes they think of one characteristic and it's out of balance. Now, it's a true characteristic.
This is brilliant. Unpack this, Bert.
So what you have with the compound names of God is bringing who God is into the whole, okay? And the names, except for Yahweh, separate those characteristics of God.
Right.
You catch what I'm saying?
Right.
To know him. They're still true. They're still real. It's like, I haven't done this on the air, but I'm going to give my full name, Alex.
Okay.
Bert is my middle name.
Okay.
My first name is Stanley Bert Harper.
Okay.
Okay? So when I was a child and my mother called me Bert, I figured it was just something she was wanting to tell me. Right. But when she said Stanley Bert Harper, I knew something was when she used this compound name, she had seen something that I had done that I should not have
done.
Okay? She used that. So when God uses a compound name, it's not saying we're in trouble or he's in trouble, but it's demonstrating the fullness and the wholeness of God.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's so important. So these compound names of God that we're going to finally get into, that we've just now got into, demonstrate the wholeness of God. So don't try to separate. I mean, I think we do that with salvation. You know, we talk about, okay, what does it mean to be saved? Well, we give one, two, three, four. Man, when I was 12 years old and I came to Christ, Alex, I didn't do all that separation.
Yeah.
I said, Lord,
that's right.
I'm yours.
That's
I'm lost. I need you.
Well, you know, D.L. Moody, who we love so much, D.L. Moody was not an educated man, but he literally rocked the world of the 19th century. And he was at a university, and, you know, he went to Oxford, and he went to the Ivy Leagues, and they made fun of him. And he didn't defend himself. He just humbly preach Christ, but somebody was trying to trip him up and unpack the very fine details of salvation. He said, all I know is this. He said, he looked at me and I looked at him and I accepted him and he accepted me and the two of us became one.
Amen.
Isn't that sweet?
And if you're there today and you're trying to figure out those fine points of God and those fine points of salvation and it's dragging you down, you cannot get your mind around it, listen, do what D.L. Moody did. I mean, you know, come to Christ and just bow before him. The word is surrender in honesty.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
We surrender. We give up on self and let God come in. You can say it any way you want to, but it is a surrender of my right to rule my life because Jesus died on the cross and took my sin. I want him to have his way in my life. And there's a number you can call if you need help. It's 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM. And praise the Lord, there's some people there that will help you. Alex, this God loves us, doesn't he?
He does. Well, and one of those names is Yahweh Tsidkenu. Now, this the T is silent. I know this is a mouthful, folks.
It is.
Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 33:16, it says that God is the Lord our righteousness. Now, what this says in this name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah is the attempt to pronounce that which is really unpronounceable. But Tsidkenu, Tsidkenu, it means that God alone can provide righteousness to human beings, and he did this in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. You and I have spent a fair amount of time in 1 John where it says he's the propitiation of our sins. To propitiate means to turn away wrath. And so we talk about God, and it might be a little unsettling, and you think, well, this eternal, all-powerful God who could crush me, and he could, but he loves you, and so he provides righteousness. The Lord Jesus is our righteousness.
He's our righteousness.
He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, who says, I will take the punishment so you don't have to.
It's kind of a covering. You catch what I'm saying? You remember when the prodigal son came home? He said, bring out that coat. Bring it on and put it on him. That's the righteousness covering us.
Yeah, maybe you saw, I guess this was 10 years ago, there was one of those California wildfires, and they found a bird that had died in the fire. It was a mother bird, and they picked up the charred body of this mother bird, and surprisingly, underneath her burned dead body, there were baby birds that had survived. The mother laid down, and her back was burned. The mother laid down and died, but in doing so, covered and saved the babies in her nest. Jesus did that for us. The fire of God's holiness and judgment was poured out on Christ, and he became Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord God, our righteousness.
We're looking at the names of God, the compound names of God in the Old Testament, and give an illustration of it in the New Testament. Stay with us. We're going to come back and we're going to go through some of these names rather quickly. So stay tuned for more on Exploring the Word.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
When I was a youth pastor, and I didn't know a whole lot of songs, but I used to have my youth sing this, and I think we did it every week. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, Living Word. Those are some names of God, and we played that song and sang it so many times. And part of the reason was because the names of God are so dear and special to us. You're listening to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and I today are going over some of the names of God, but just like God himself, who is inexhaustible, we can't exhaust it in this one show. But we said this, there's one God. The names of God describe different things about him, and we learn more about him. And so learning more about the names of God helps us learn more about God himself. And Bert, let me throw out a couple here that are so special. In Genesis 16, one of the names is El Roi. Now, the prefix El means God. But it's
not Elroy.
Not Elroy.
I'm not being, but
not Elroy.
First time I heard that, I thought, "What now?"
I know. But Roi, Elroi, is the God who sees me. Now that's very similar to another word, Yahweh Shema, and it means the Lord who is there. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, "God is there and He is not silent."
The word there. If you'll do a study, I'm just giving you this. I've got about three or four sermons on that about the Lord being there. Let me give you this real quickly. In when Elijah was running for his life from Jezebel, God told him to go to a brook Cherith, and there he would be fed. There. Then go to the widow. There. You know, when Abraham, Alex, was taken Isaac down, and it says, I go there. You know, so it's so important. He is the God of the there, you know?
Yes,
He's
exactly.
Specific. And I love that's part of his name. He is very specific in where I'll meet you there. Jesus told his disciples, come and I'll meet you there.
Well, you know, the songwriters have helped us out so much on this. Remember, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow? And see, God is already in tomorrow. Do you know what? A lot of people are worried about the election, and rightly so. But 59
this
days
could
from have, now?
This could be played after the election. I wonder what that would be like, you know?
Who's going to be the next president? Well, I know when January comes, inauguration, God's already there.
He's on, and he hadn't moved. He's on the throne.
And so God is Yahweh Shema. The Lord who is there, that's Ezekiel 48. He is Genesis 16, El Roi, the God who sees, the God who sees me. And there's so much we could say about this, But let me change gears here, and we're learning more about the Lord by these compound names. One is Yahweh Sabaoth, Sabaoth.
Right.
S-A-B-A-O-T-H, and I'm probably not pronouncing
it correctly.
It's
hard to say because we want to say Sabbath, but it's different than Sabbath. It's Sabaoth.
Yep. Exactly. I mentioned the song El Shaddai by Amy Grant. Age to age, you're still the same. And do you remember A Mighty Fortress is Our God? And Martin Luther wrote that, actually. And it uses this name, and it says, Lord Sabaoth, his name, age to age the same. And I love that the Amy Grant song used kind of a lyric from the Martin Luther song,
That's a good connection, isn't it?
Yes. Yahweh Sabaoth means the Lord of hosts.
That is talking about, you know, the Lord of hosts. You know, when I see that, and I'm not saying, but a lot of times it's the armies.
The Lord of armies.
Armies, yes. And some people have transliterated it. It actually means Lord of hosts. But it's talking about the Lord's army. You remember when Elisha was it at Dothan, when he was surrounded by the enemy, and his servant came to him, and what are we going to do? And Elisha says, there's more of us than there are of them. And he said, open his eyes that he might see those that were encamped around him. I'd say that was the Lord of hosts.
Sure. Yes, exactly. And you'll find this name in Isaiah 1, verse 24, in Psalm 46, verse 7. But it talks about the captain of hosts.
Yeah.
God is the creator and commander of all the angels, and he has, sometimes the King James says bands, B-A-N-D-S, meaning groups of angels, bands of angels that will go forth. Look, one day we're going to march in that army when we return with Christ at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, and the God of hosts returns to vanquish the armies of the Antichrist, and he will reign forever and ever. Look, we will come back with Yahweh Sabaoth, and again, forgive me for my probable mispronunciations. I don't know exactly.
We need some Hebrew scholars here.
But he is the captain of the hosts.
Yeah.
And friend, we would ask you, are you in his ranks today?
Amen.
You can be. And Jesus is as close by as a prayer.
Let me bring up one, and I want you to comment on it. I always loved it. Yahweh is my banner.
Yes.
Yahweh Nisi.
Oh,
the banner.
Yes.
You remember singing this? The
Exodus
banner
17.
Over us is his banner over us is love.
I love it.
I do too. So what does that mean? It has the idea of two things: identity, gathered around if you lift up the banner, people gather around it. But isn't that the one that goes before us?
You rally around something.
Yeah, you rally, and then you rally around the banner.
Jehovah
but then
Nisi.
After you rally, he sends it out, and the banner goes before us.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. Alex, does he go before us?
He does. Oh, he really does. And he is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. In Exodus 17:15, I love this. They were in the desert, and they had a victory over the Amalekites. Okay, they're in the desert, they're in a dry place, and they have a victory over a threat. And Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Moses builds this altar and praises Jehovah Nisi. And Moses says, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, and the Lord was at war with the Amalekites, and will be from generation to generation. But listen to this. The very same chapter and place where we learn of his name, the Lord our banner, is also the name of the place and the time when they got water out of the rock.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
It is. Brings provision. We have a whole new name for that, don't we?
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, our provider, Genesis 22:14. You know, when...
This is good.
Do you remember when we learn of the name Jehovah Jireh?
Is this has anything to do with Abraham
and Isaac?
Yeah.
When Isaac, and I wonder
where's the lamb?
We have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the lamb?
Where's the lamb?
And I've often wondered what in the world was going through Isaac's mind about
too.
That time. And Abraham, the aged man, and don't you know his heart was trembling as his beloved and only son was being led up on a mountain, the very same mountain where centuries later the only Son of God would be nailed to a cross. And Abraham said, God himself will provide the ram.
Now, where did he provide it? On that one hill.
Mount Moriah.
Yeah. Mount Moriah. Think about it. If he had had another idea and he said, that hill's a little too steep.
Yeah.
I believe I'll try this hill. You catch what I'm saying, Alex?
Yes.
God provides where God leads.
That's right.
You connect those two. I see people all the time, well, he's not Jehovah Jireh. He hadn't provided. Have you let him? He will lead you. He
yes.
led them through the desert, and he provided for them the water that you were talking about earlier, the manna, the quail. He is the Lord provider, but he is also the Lord our shepherd who guides us and leads us, isn't he?
Well, that's right. And, you know, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, says Abraham, Genesis 22, which is absolutely correct. And what is the most important provision of all? Salvation.
Yeah.
Now, we've got to go to another word, and I know you might be way ahead of me already thinking about this. Yahweh or Jehovah Rapha,
Amen.
The Lord who heals.
Heals.
Exodus 15:26 says, I am Jehovah who heals you. How has he healed us? Well, in our soul and in our body and in our circumstances and in our relationships and even in our emotions and even in our memories and maybe things that we need to be able to bring closure to. Friend, God, he is the total package. I mean, and I'm not trying to be flippant or colloquial, but look, our salvation, I believe, is a complete salvation. It's not only taking you to heaven, not hell, although that's huge. But look, God, I want to say this, Bert. Eternal life is now. It's the now and the not yet. We often think, well, I'm saved, so someday I'll go to heaven. That's true. But you're in eternity right now already. I mean,
it's just not quantity, it's quality.
That's right.
Quantity has the idea, yes, and forever, but it's a quality of life, too. It's a new life.
Salvation.
It's not the same old life. He's delivered us, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's about who you are going to become one day, but it's about who you are and who you are becoming right now. And Jehovah Rapha, he is the Lord who heals you.
Yeah. Now, one real quick thing. We got some more names we want to go to, but I want to get this in. When you see Jesus Christ, listen, in the New Testament, you see these names of God being lived out, especially this one, that Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Look, I mean, he would go and he would heal. He was God in the flesh.
Yes.
Now, he had come in incarnation and taken on flesh. But he still had it where the disease would obey him, where the weather would obey him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wherever he was. Give you an example about God being there. When he was in the boat and all the storm came upon them, and they went down and woke Jesus up and says, Master, do you not care that we're going to drown? We're going to be destroyed. We're going to die. Jesus was there. Now, what was that name for Jehovah being there, you know?
Shema.
Shema.
Yes.
He was Jehovah Shema there.
Yes.
Do you think that boat was going to drown with Jesus there?
No way.
You catch what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
So in the New Testament, every one of these names, we're going to do another program about the titles of Jesus in the New Testament, but you see these Old Testament names being revealed in Christ in the New Testament, Alex.
Well, I think Jehovah Rapha is very clearly exhibited in Mark chapter 2. Jesus shows himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, where he says, your sins are forgiven, take up your bed and walk. And they said, wait a minute, who is this who heals and forgives?
Your sins.
Jesus says, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive
your sins.
Isn't that something? The man that was let down through the roof, he said, take up your bed and walk. Your sins are forgiven you. And they had a problem with that because they were saying, well, this guy's healed. This guy claims to be able to forgive sin. Only God can do that.
They were right.
Exactly. Yeah.
They were right but wrong.
Exactly. Now, let me just say this, and we maybe another show, we'll do a show completely about healing. Sometimes God heals in time. And sometimes God heals by taking us out of time. And there are born-again Christians, saved, who do not get delivered from a physical infirmity or ailment. But God is our healer. He saves our soul. He does meet our physical needs. And that name, Jehovah Rapha, speaks to that. Oh, I hate that we've got to move on, but folks, here's our 4 points we want you to get. There's one God, his different names that we've only minutely touched on describe different aspects of who he is, his nature and character, his attributes. Learning more about these names of God help us know more about God himself, but here's the thing that we want you to kind of ruminate on as we begin to close. Part of our duty, and frankly, our privilege, because it's a joy and an honor, is to continually learn more about God. And the reason that we're saying this, look, by learning about, we want you to be about learning more of God throughout this life, because we're going to be doing this through all of eternity.
You will. Now, we learn God by living our life, reading the Bible, but we also learn about God by sharing with others. Alex, you and I are proud to do this program. And what's amazing, we'll have an outline here and we'll think, well, we can get it done, but we always wind up rushing through it because of our experiences and what God has shown us. As we begin talking, it becomes a revelation. I need to share that. And you come, I need to share that. Is God demonstrating his love in us by having fellowship with one another? I mean, I've learned a lot in these last 5 years by doing Exploring the Word with you.
Well,
you know?
I've learned a lot
and
from
so,
you.
Think about that. In a Sunday school class, everybody, and I'm being real practical right now because you said part of the Christian's duty is to continually learn more about God. I think you do that in worship and in with small groups.
Yeah.
Don't deny yourself of that. If
exactly.
you're trying to say, oh, I can stay by myself, stay at home, and, you know, no, I do believe you need this group of fellowship for accountability, but also encouragement. When I've gone to church before and I've been kind of down and out about something, and that's not often. I'm usually up in the air. I'm enjoying life, but I've gone kind of depressed before, and somebody will come up to me and have a word of encouragement for me. I want to tell you, it teaches me more about God. So don't let something that happened years ago keep you from being a part of God's family.
Well, it's part of our duty to learn more about God. You know, one last name as the music plays. In Psalm 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Amen.
That's Jehovah Roha, or sometimes in Hebrew, R-A-A-H, Ra'ah. Jehovah, my shepherd. Are you one of his sheep? You can become one today just by calling. He's as close by as a prayer, and he will lead you tenderly, lovingly, through this life and into eternity.
We hope you've enjoyed the biblical names of God in the Old Testament. And I want to tell you, it's been a blessing for Alex and me. And both of us have sat here and smiled through most of it, thanking God for who he's done. So keep listening to Exploring the Word and tell others about it. But make sure you tell someone about this God, Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.